بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين وبعد. Last week or 2 weeks ago, when we were discussing Surah Yusuf, we spoke about how Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was kidnapped by his brothers. Thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salam was chucked into the well. He was abandoned at the well. Eventually, he was discovered by some cleverers, and his brothers came around to negotiate with those cleverers, and they sold Yusuf alayhi salam at a valueless, a very meager price. They got rid of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, claiming that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was their slave.
And thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salam had made it with these people to Egypt from a place called Canaan. And when they got there, then the story continues here, but there was a whole lot of goods that was placed onto the market, slaves, all other types of commodities, and Yusuf alayhi salam was actually amongst one of those commodities. This is where the next ruku begins, where we begin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه.
So Yusuf alayhi salam went now to Egypt, and he was sold in the marketplace. At this point, where Yusuf alayhi salam was about to be sold, people now started to see his value. They seen the radiance of his face, they seen his excellent character, and there was appeal for Yusuf alayhi salam. So initially he was sold for a meager price. At this point people started bidding, and the bids went up and the bids went up. Eventually people were bidding in gold, and people were bidding in musk, and people were bidding in silk equal to the value of Yusuf alayhi salam, and the bidding went on and on, until eventually a person who was the Aziz, a person who was the minister of Egypt, he eventually outbidded everybody, and then he purchased Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So this verse says that the person, the minister, the Aziz himself, he purchased Yusuf alayhi salam, and he took Yusuf alayhi salam to his house. He وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَاتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. The person from Egypt, the minister who bought Yusuf alayhi salam, he told his wife. His wife's name was Zulaikha, and more detail will be explained on her name. But he said to her, take proper care of him. And perchance, perhaps, he may be of some benefit to us, he may be of some use to us, or we may even take him as our own son.
And this part is important, because it will come up in a few ayat later, where he said to his wife that you must honor him by giving him a very nice place to stay, giving him a good place to dwell in, a place of rest for him, so that ayyanfa'ana, he can benefit us, or we can take him as a son. Regarding her name, it's not very detailed, but some mufassirin say the name was Ra'il. And some mufassirin say it was Zulaikha. Some people say it was Ra'il, and the title was given Zulaikha, and vice versa. Nevertheless,
Allah goes on saying, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And in this way we had established Yusuf alayhi salam on the earth. So we rescued Yusuf alayhi salam from a close to death situation. Yusuf alayhi salam was rescued from the well, and now he was put in a place of high networking. He could meet the leaders amongst the land, he could meet the prominent people, he could meet the people of influence, and like that Allah established Yusuf alayhi salam in the land.
And one more point with regards to him being taken as a son by the Aziz and his wife was that one of the reasons why specifically he wanted to take him as a son was because he couldn't bear children, or they couldn't bear children on their own. So it came to them that, you know what, either we take him as a slave, or we can rear him and take him as our own son. And then Allah saying that he put him in the earth where he could meet with all these people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. And also we taught him a portion, some of the interpretations of dreams. Min here comes in the form of a portion, a little bit. So imagine he was like the king of dreams, yet he only had a portion of it.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. When you reciting this verse, you can't help but think of the life of Musa alayhi salam, where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Allah wanted to protect him at a time when all of the babies were being killed. So at that point, Allah sent Musa alayhi salam to a household where they couldn't bear their own children. And that way Musa alayhi salam was taken in like a child and looked after. Here in the similar situation, the son of Yaqub alayhi salam needed to be protected, Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah sent him to a household where they couldn't bear children for him to be raised in that household. So if Allah has planned for you not to be able to conceive, you aren't able to produce children, there is some special wisdom in it. You are playing a special purpose on earth. Perhaps you might not see it, but people many years later who look back and retrospect, they look at your life, they'll see that you served a special purpose. The wife of this minister didn't know why she couldn't give birth. The wife of Fir'aun didn't know why she couldn't have a child. But here you see Allah had designed it in a way for a very specific purpose.
Subhanallah. And then Allah says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Allah is dominant, Allah is in control, Allah is completely in charge of His matters. Walakin akthar an-nas la ya'lamun. However, not many people do not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dominant over.
Allah in the next verse says, Walamma balagha ashuddahu. When Yusuf alayhi salam now became of age, he matured, he grew up. Various different tafsir were stating different ages. Hasan Basri rahimahumallah says he reached the age of 40. Many other mufassirun say he reached the age of 33. So when he became of age, ataynahu hukma wa ilma. At that point we had granted him wisdom and we had granted him knowledge. Mufassirun explain hukma wa ilma, wisdom and knowledge, means he was now given nubuwa. At the age when he was mature enough, Allah had now blessed him with nubuwa.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says hukma wa ilma also, it was where he was able to evaluate certain things and give judgment accordingly. And mufassirin, like you mentioned, the most preferred view in the way I've read is that he was 30 years old. Anyways, at 30 years old he was given the comprehension and evaluation and judgment that he could attain. And when it comes to ilma, it was regarding like knowledge of the dreams as well as of the sharia that he was going to be implementing.
وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And in this manner, by Allah giving a person knowledge and wisdom, this is the way that we reward those who do good deeds. Now we are about to focus our attention closer to one particular very, very significant incident which had taken place in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, which would alter the future of the life of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam.
And this here comes as the third calamity that happened upon Yusuf alayhi salam. The first being thrown in the well, the second being
sold as a slave,
and in this year is the third calamity. What is this calamity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِ. And the one who he was in her house, meaning the one who Yusuf alayhi salam was in her house, meaning the wife of the Aziz. And another important point with regards to Aziz, this is where I lost my train of thought earlier. Aziz is actually one of the names of Allah. So why were they using the name Aziz then? Why do they also use the name or the word Rabb for like the master or like the king at the time or someone who's in charge? They use the word Rabb. Like how we use the word Rabb, like Rabbana Atina for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just words and terms that they used before, but in today's time we don't use that words. But we use similar words in English, like landlord, for example. It's a simple one. But anyways, we're just getting on to that, the Aziz's wife, and she decided to
try to seduce
Yusuf alayhi salam upon him, right? وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Important point here is that there was many doors into the room where she wanted to seduce him. So she locked all of those doors. And those doors didn't just have one lock. It had multiple locks. And she locked it and made sure that it was all locked in place.
وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Now that she said the entire situation, she locked the doors. She said to Yusuf alayhi salam, وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. Yusuf, come to me to fulfill your desires. She tried to call Yusuf alayhi salam. In the tafsirs, they capture this conversation as she was trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember, don't look at it simplistically. She said the right tone, she put the right bedding, she dressed in an appealing way. It was now in a situation where any young person would be tested. So she started to converse with Yusuf alayhi salam. The first thing that she said to Yusuf alayhi salam, you have so attractive hair. Your hair is so good. Compliment lamenting and trying to flatter and flirt with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to distract her and also perhaps distract himself and focus on the real reality, the inevitable reality, which is death. So Yusuf alayhi salam said to her, "This hair is the first part from my body that will depart from my body."
Subhanallah.
She then went on to try to compliment and flatter Yusuf alayhi salam. She said, "Oh, what charming eyes you have, Yusuf." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "These very eyes in the grave will turn into water and just flow from my cheeks." She then turned her focus to the overall face of Yusuf alayhi salam and said, "Oh, Yusuf, how handsome you are." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "This face of mine will actually be eaten by the soil in the ground." So she called Yusuf alayhi salam, saying, "Hey Talak, come to me, fulfill your desire." And Yusuf alayhi salam constantly replied with da'wah. Eventually he made dua to Allah. He exclaimed, "Qala ma'ad Allah." He said, "I seek protection in Allah.
I seek protection in Allah." And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned earlier, Allah has given him knowledge and wisdom. And this wisdom was proof enough that he was being seduced in the wrong manner, and he immediately sought protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues by saying, "Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai," that Yusuf alayhi salam said to her that indeed he is my Rabb. Ahsana matwai, he was excellent in giving me a place of comfort and rest, and you are coming to me. Who is this Rabb? Mufassirin now have this ikhtilaf. It could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it could be the Aziz, right? So I mentioned that Aziz thing, and I mentioned Rabb as well. And this is where the first ayah where we mentioned that the person who bought him told his wife to be good and honor him in his, and be generous in giving him a place to dwell in, a place and an abode to rest in. So this year, some Mufassirin mention that this year is regarding the Aziz, that he's telling the Zulaikha that your husband, my master, has given me a place to stay, and me going now and being affected by your seducing me is going to be betrayal towards him. And then the obvious one, when it comes to the ikhtilaf of that, it being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked after him till now. And now I'm going to go betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by committing zina.
Somebody made mashura with his sheikh, speaking about a certain sin that he wants to get involved in. So the sheikh replied to this individual that go do the sin without using Allah's resources, and go do the sin on a place that doesn't belong to Allah. So there is no way you can fulfill a sin without using Allah's resources. There's no place that you can do a sin that doesn't belong to Allah. So the height of distrust and the height of, what's the opposite of loyalty? Treachery. The height of treachery would be using Allah's resources on Allah's earth to displease Allah. So Allah goes on saying, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And that verse ends saying, certainly, oppressors will definitely not succeed. So we move on to the next verse where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She was, had intentions towards Yusuf alayhi salam. She was determined to achieve from Yusuf alayhi salam. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. And he also would have had intentions towards her if Allah didn't send a sign to him. So Allah protected Yusuf alayhi salam.
And there's the self-control, because by nature, natural disposition, a man and a woman, and remember, it's not just any woman, it's the wife of the Aziz. The wife of the Aziz is not going to be an ugly woman. And she is calling him to the bed, and she is dressed up for him, and all, everything is for him, and he's in the peak of his youth. In the peak of his youth, and his natural disposition would have been that had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not given him the signs.
So the sign that Allah had given him, there's different narrations speaking about the sign. One narration say, one particular interpretation of this was that in those moments when she was trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah had showed Yusuf alayhi salam an image of his father Yaqub alayhi salam, and that image of Yaqub alayhi salam reinforced Yusuf alayhi salam. It gave Yusuf alayhi salam the strength to abstain from what she was calling Yusuf alayhi salam towards. But let's remind ourselves, his reaction as captured in the Quran is, "Qala ma'ad Allah, I seek protection in Allah." far where nobody can be overly confident about his own piety. Nobody can be overly confident about his spirituality. He relied on Allah. And him calling upon Allah caused Allah to present for him a sign that would protect him.
And this here shows the strong-mindedness and the strong will that Yusuf alayhi salam had. We carry on further with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to just add one more thing, is that wahamma biha. We can't just read wahamma biha on its own and say that Yusuf alayhi salam also had desire for her. We can't just put that in its place. We can't just use it just individually on its own. We have to add that lawla arra'a burhana rabbi. Had he not seen the signs of Allah, then he would have fallen into the trap of shaitan. It's the same like when we say, if you do such and such, then you are an oppressor. If he doesn't do it, then he's not an oppressor. Like that. Okay?
كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء. Like this, in this manner, Allah Jalla Jalalu averts evil and immorality from him, Yusuf alayhi salam, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. And when learning the story, keep this in mind, that certainly Yusuf alayhi salam was from the sincere servants of Allah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him for he was sincere in his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah chose him only at that time for wahi and risala of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wastabaqa al-bab. Now all this had taken place and she said, you know what, we definitely this is happening. And he's seen the signs of Allah, he said, ma'ad Allah, I seek protection in Allah, save me from this year. And they both now ran. He ran with the intention of fleeing away from her, and she ran with the intention of getting him. And they raced to the door. وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. And she tore and ripped off his shirt from the back. And again, yeah, Qamis is another main character in the story. We mentioned that Qamis is also a main character when he was thrown into the well. They came with the brothers came with a Qamis, right? So she tore the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam from the back. Wa alfa ya sayyidaha lad albab. Somehow, by the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doors of this palace was open. And by the way, when we said ghallaqat al abwab, forgot to mention that it was 7 doors and each door had locks on them. And all of a sudden these doors opened.
The attention has to be focused on the way when a person wants to abstain from sin or wants to please Allah, how a person makes one advancement and how Allah facilitates the rest. So here Yusuf alayhi salam sought protection from Allah. He raced away from her, trying to flee away from her. She grabbed onto his shirt. She tore the back of the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. And then Allah miraculously caused these locked doors to open. And Allah made it such that when these doors opened, they met the Aziz. They met her husband at the door. Now she immediately wanted to turn the blame against herself and try to cry innocent and turn the blame onto Yusuf alayhi salam. She said, قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا إِلَّا أَيُّسْجَنَ وَعَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They say, what can be the penalty for him who intended evil against your wife, who tried to seduce your wife? What can it be? It can only be prison, or it can be some very painful punishment for a person who does something so outrageous. So she was turning the focus and the blame on Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam.
And look how with mastery she did it. She's chasing him with the intention of getting him in bed. And the moment the door opened and she seen her husband standing there, she immediately changed the sentiment where the oppressed became the oppressor and the oppressor became the oppressed. And what is the reward and the recompense for someone who intends evil on your family? And
instead
one reason
of the reward, the consequence.
Consequence, the recompense. The consequence for someone who does evil for your family. Illa ayusjana, either they get imprisoned, because if he's imprisoned, he's not killed, I can still have another opportunity. I can still have another opportunity. Oh, adabun alim, or you just torture him. Just punish him.
It definitely wasn't love, it was lust.
Yes.
It was uncontrolled lust. So you don't care about the opposite party, you just want your desires to be fulfilled.
And Rasulullah said, وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. You must control yourself, tame yourself, which means like your desires, if you do not control it, it's like a wild animal. And if you don't control it, it has to be tamed. If you don't control it, you'll do things that you're not supposed to do. قَالَ هِيَ رَوَدَتْنِي عَن نَفْسِي. He said that she was seducing me immediately, because that's the truth. Yusuf alayhi salam is belying her and saying that to the king that she seduced me. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now comes a nice important point.
So the ulama say that it's against the nature of a prophet to reveal the faults of somebody else. And Yusuf alayhi salam was so sublime in his character, if he could have avoided exposing her faults, he would have done so. But it's only because she was trying to implicate him, he had to turn the situation around to make sure that he can proclaim his innocence. So, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. And then a witness from her family testified by saying, this was miraculous. There was a baby in a little carriage. The baby was so young that the baby didn't have the ability to speak. And Allah made it a miracle that this little baby spoke. إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. If certainly the shirt is torn from the front, then it would mean that she, Zulaykha, is honest and Yusuf alayhi salam is lying. But then this little baby went on to explain further. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. But if the shirt was torn from the back, then it would mean that she is lying and Yusuf alayhi salam is speaking the truth.
فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. Now the Aziz looks at the shirt and sees that the shirt has been torn and ripped open from the back. قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. Immediately mentions that this year is from your plots and plans that you women make. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, the plots and plans of women are grave. Grave.
Then he went on to address Yusuf alayhi salam and the people in power and the people of wealth, the typical approach, saying, Yusuf, a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, just forget about this incident. Let's brush it under the carpet. Nobody's seen anything. Nobody should know anything about it. Yusuf, just keep quiet about it. Wastaghfiri li dhambik. And you, my wife, you seek forgiveness from Allah for your sin. إِنَّكَ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Certainly you were from amongst those who made a mistake. So Yusuf, you keep quiet, and the wife, you repent. So it was clear who was on right and who was on falsehood.
And some of us herein also mentioned that this Aziz was actually a very calm, collected person. For something like this to happen, and he just says, you know, I just forget about it, and my wife, you did wrong. You have plots and plans, just make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You just made a mistake. You just made a mistake.
For those who know the story passively but don't know the details of the story, you'll be wondering at this point that Yusuf alayhi salam has clearly been proclaimed as innocent. How did Yusuf alayhi salam end up in prison? Well, if you want to find out, tune in next week. Let's go for an ad break. Stay tuned.